Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Teresa and America.
Hey, guys.
Last week, we talked about dealing with change that you can't control and how to overcome that. But as part of that discussion, we started to discuss, you know, knowing that you have to change, but not wanting to change. And so that is what we're discussing today.
Like the I don't want to is the place where sometimes I feel like how I get to it is that you've tried everything to negate the fact that you have to change. And now it's just like in your face slapping you like you have to change now. And I'm still kind of like, but do I really have to?
Yeah.
You know, you had talked about like the devil you know.
Dealing with the devil you know versus the devil you don't know. Part of what that was about was I could get so stuck in where I'm at, even if the space that I'm in is bad. But at least I know it. Like I know what to expect from it. I have learned to cope with being in this crappy place. And there's a lot of unknown about if I try. Like if I try to do better, there's a bit of fear. Like right. What is that going to be like? What if I fail at that?
I don't know that it's a bit of fear. I would say there's a lot of fear.
Oh yeah. Okay. A lot of fear. Yeah. No, a lot of fear. I think that, and it's not little changes that I think are hard, right? We can make little changes. It's the habits and the pain that is deep.
Yeah.
That's harder to even know. Like, why do I have such a hard time giving it's in like, to this change process?
I think about it like if you were to like build a house or you like buy a house, you have the structure and then you're like, oh, I want to knock down this wall. You know, and for somebody that doesn't know anything about structures or anything, I'd be like, it's so easy. Just knock it down. But the person that knows the work that takes, you know, that it takes to get it out of the way is probably like, no, it's not going to be just you knock down the wall in a day and then that's it. It's like, yeah. It's 3 weeks worth of time and stuff. And then that's when you talk about like the small changes. You can modify or try to modify, like, I'm going to wake up earlier every day. But the bigger, much bigger deal kind of change is like, I'm going to wake up earlier every day. And I am actually going to eat a healthy breakfast. You know, and like, prepare for what that means. Or, you know, if you're going to knock down a wall, right? And I think about it emotionally, like if you're really going to like pop into this space where you're like, I'm going to really try to figure out why it is that I get into arguments all the time, then that's not going to take a couple minutes. That's like some really deep work that has to happen.
Yeah.
And then the fear of it's like, oh my God, what am I going to find once I open that door?
And shame, because you know you've tried, you know, and you all, and that's part of the change process is failure should be expected, not the thing you're running away from. But I think for most of us, we think of failure as the thing we're running away from.
Yeah.
When people say, just do it.
Yeah. If you put your mind to it, you can do anything. And it's like, yeah, okay.
I ran today. When are you going to?
When I started, it was hard, but now it's so easy. And it's like, okay, go back to the time when you were starting and tell me how that was. Yeah. You know?
You do forget when things change. You almost want to get some distance between how painful those experiences were at the beginning, because it's – what do we say about the beginning of change? It's like the hardest part is the 80% of preparation to just get me to get my shoes on or get me to choose to commit to not lashing out or something.
Yeah. I find it too, like when you're in the moment, more around like the emotional things, it's hard to stop yourself. And I'm only speaking about myself because I'm thinking like, what do I say to myself in that moment to be like, America, stop. don't say anything, you know, and it's so second nature that I automatically function in certain ways. And then I have to like really stop my brain.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part.
You're talking about something I wanted to ask you a question about, which is if you had to think about the things you know you had to change, but you found it the hardest to change, what would those things be? I'm asking you a question, but I'll share.
Yeah.
So the hardest things for me to change are habits that are tied to bad coping skills, coping mechanisms. And part of the coping mechanisms is also things that tie to my desire for avoidance. So an example, okay, the easiest example are bad habits, right? Like the hardest things for me to change are my poor eating habits, my exercise, it ties to my identity. And then like the cycle of feeling bad, like I hate the way I look right now, but I can't get out of that cycle of beating myself up, which makes me feel bad and like lowers my energy, then makes me not even want to exercise. And it's just a bad cycle. And then I add justification on top of why I should eat this whole bag of Cheetos.
Yeah.
Like that's a cycle. The other one that's common that I've started to unpack is like, this is harder. It's really hard for me to change reacting to people if the way that I perceive that the way they're talking to me touches something that's emotional. Mm-hmm. So an example is in my relationship with my partner. If I feel like he says something that triggers that I'm feeling trapped or it's a criticism, it's very hard for me not to hear what I perceive as a criticism as him just stating a fact.
Yeah.
Or him just offering a kind suggestion. My brain doesn't hear a kind suggestion. My brain hears a criticism or an attack. And what the habit that has been so hard for me to do, and why we're in couples therapy, is not reacting with defensiveness and going from 0 to 100 and then lashing out with anger or just shutting down. And then he's like, you're cold. I'm like,
oh, yeah,
I'm just shutting down.
I would be like, check the box on everything you said, because habits are really hard, but they're easy to like think about, right? The things that you can and should be doing better, but for X reasons, you're not.
Yeah.
The other side is the reactionary. That's where the emotional side kind of comes in, right? That where I sit in. It's funny because you're talking about, you know, reactions. My fiance was like, I made food and he was like, I like this kind of food. And I was like, fine then, next time you cook. And he was like, I was just saying that I like that. And I was like, oh.
I felt bad uncomfortably because every day is like that.
Yeah.
And because human beings are full of our experiences where we've been hurt by people, and what we want to do is protect ourselves and not be hurt again.
Yeah.
We as human beings are so trained up to protect ourselves. I think there's a reason why most of us really move towards anger. It's comfortable.
That's where, for me, like, I am trying to do my hardest work in thinking about, okay, America, don't say anything. They didn't mean what they said. You're taking it in this way. You're interpreting it in this way. And even though, like, I can do that for other people where I can be, like, the sounding board and I'm like, you know, they probably didn't mean it that way. They probably were saying this. I can't do that for myself. So it's really hard. And I need people to be like, hey, I don't necessarily think that's what was happening, but I only take that from trusted people.
I think everybody gets this, maybe to different degrees, based on how much traumatic experience or how much hurt you've had in your life. So the more hurt you've been in your life, or the degree to which you were hurt, like going through a really bad divorce is a major life change. That's a big hurt. That experience is going to weigh more heavily on you. And there are a lot of people who have a lot of pain in their life. Mm-hmm. So everybody does this. Everybody gets defensive. Everybody is running away from pain. But people who experience more pain, it's like you have more to have to work against to be able to protect yourself. And so I don't think that anybody is like, oh, oh, these people are horrible, yeah, because everybody would look at themselves and be like, oh, I've been that person at some time in my life.
Sometimes when I'm speaking with other friends and family members and they say stuff to me about their relationships, I'm like, dude, you shouldn't have done that. That was like not the best thing. And if you only look at it within that tiny context of this entire thing of a relationship, you can really look like you're like the worst person ever.
Yeah.
But, and when we talk about our experiences, we only share like these little tidbits, right? And they don't, the audience doesn't know us as full people, even though we're very transparent about our experiences. And that's what I was just thinking about.
It's like therapy. I think about this all the time when I'm in therapy. I bring all the worst parts of my life to therapy. And then I always leave therapy thinking, my therapist thinks that I'm a horrible person.
Yeah, it's like you have to come back with like pictures of, well, look, I do good things too.
Yeah, this is when I start to lie to my therapist, or I'm just like suddenly paralyzed in therapy. And I'm like, I don't think I can share with you what I have to say. It's horrible.
Yeah, but it ties to what you were talking about, like this shame, right, that we feel about our experiences, that sometimes we're just like, dude, what's going on? And you're right. I think many people have very similar experiences. The difference is not everybody talks about them.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Especially our failings.
Yeah.
And the part where I say I don't want to change is some kind of deep pain too. It's not just like I'm a kid who's doubling down to throw a tantrum. Like, no, I'm not going to change. Mm-hmm. We don't hear models of people explaining what that process looks like and how hard it is, so that if we're in that mix, we don't feel shame. Like, we don't have enough of that. So all we feel is just sitting with the shame that we haven't given up the addiction or that we haven't been X, right? And we yeah. get that from the people we're hurting, which is true. We are hurting people, many times hurting people, other people, or ourselves, when we know there's something we need to change and we don't change. We get it. Mm-hmm. We know that. But then you just sit with the shame and the pain, and you sit with the that negativity, and that becomes its cycle. And that's why it's not just that I don't want to change. This is why it's hard to change.
I forever have had body issues. Okay. I can't remember a time when I didn't. And people know that, they've been listening. But I remember one day I was like, that's it. I'm going to go and run. And then I remember like putting on sweatpants and everything. And my grandfather was alive back then, and he looked at me, he's like, what are you doing? Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to go running, Papa. And he was like, you're going to go what? And I was like, I want to go running. I will be back. And he looked at me like with such like a surprised and like bewildered stare that I was like, okay. And I went and ran, you know. But I remember coming back, and he had told my mom, you know, America went out, she went running. My mom was like, America went running. And when I came back, she's like, where did you go? Like questioning, like where else I had been. I was like, I went running. And she was like, okay. And, you know, the doubt that existed in that moment, I was like, I can do this. I know I can do this. But it takes a lot of, it's really a mental game, right? Where you get yourself to the place you're like, just do it. Stop saying anything negative and just go. Yeah.
And you right? had to block out your own voice. And now you had to block yeah. out your grandpa's voice. And then you had to block out your mom's voice. And at every step of the way, your brain is just like, you know, why do you bother?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's day one, you know, day two, day three, yeah. day four. And then a bad day happens and you're just like, here's my excuse for why I should do the things I shouldn't do.
Yeah.
You got to battle that.
And it's that devil, right? It's the devil that, you know, because it's so much more comforting to just sit with and sit in all the muck that you're in, because you just, it's easier. Nobody asks questions. Mm-hmm. You don't ask yourself questions. There's no doubt about your ability to do it because you've been doing it for so long. And, you know, it's until that moment that you're just like, that's it.
Yeah.
That you then move forward.
It does help me. I don't know if this helps you, but it helps me to think about breaking down the things I don't want to change to components. So if I talk about my body image, I'm actually getting bigger than I ever wanted to get. My body is moving the opposite direction of what I want to do. I know I want to go exercise more. I know I want to eat better. But what I've identified is that knowing that my desire to eat better, drink less, work out more was tied to my self-esteem or my depression. And they're distinct. These are my barriers. These are part of my barriers to getting motivated to work on these other items. What can I tackle? So honestly, the depression was one of the easiest because I was like, okay, go see my doctor, talk about my depression, what's going on? Because I could look at that from a very medical approach. I mean, like, okay, I'm removing a little bit of the emotionalness from the medical thing and just seeing what can I tackle there. Then I was like, okay, I got to start seeing a therapist again. See a therapist, like talking to my therapist about if things are coming up in my brain that's tied to my self-esteem and tied to my depression, then at least I could tackle that. And then today I could say, okay, I feel less depressed and I'm still struggling with not exercising and not eating. But at least today, as compared to 6 months ago, I'm not battling this desire to just give up everything.
I think about it like, you know, the little star stickers that you would get when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Like, I would love somebody giving me star stickers for the things that I do. Because it's motivating, right? And I can do it myself. It's like, I'm thinking about, like, children, you know, what motivates them. And adults are the same way, right?
Yes.
Completely. So you're like, for you washing the dishes, you get a star. You get 5 stars in 1 week, you can do X.
Yes.
I think too often as adults, and I'm putting that in quotes because what that means for people, you know, it's like you're supposed to have it all put together. You're not supposed to be like making mistakes and everything. It's like that's not true at all. Ever. Whoever told you that is like a liar, because we're making mistakes every day and we're still learning. So thinking about it in the way where you're like, okay, if we're going to tackle a big thing, like I'm thinking a big emotional thing for me, it's like, can you go a week without arguing with your partner?
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Thinking about the stickers, the rewards. I think as human beings, and there's a sociologist who, Zoja, who talks about ritual. And what you're saying about stars and stickers and rewards reminds me of that. It's like there's really something in our human nature that likes rewards and rituals and praise. And if you set up, if something is very hard, yeah, breaking it up and then giving, really emphasizing reward does definitely help.
Yeah. It's important too, like, when I'm thinking about it, like how my brain works is even making a list, you know, like what are the things that you would like to see? And because I think too many times we spend too much time in our head, right? And we go down and we just create these little vicious circles and intrusive thoughts that are continuously there. So if you actually put it down on paper and you're like, these are the things that I'm working towards. And then ask yourself, how can I work towards these things? And you have baby plans and then you have grandpapa plans, you know, like big deal.
Yeah.
Life changing. I'm going to go get my degree. You can't do that tomorrow. You know, you need years to get that done.
Yeah.
For me, that works.
Making
and it has worked in the past. Yes. And finding ways to reward myself and also asking for help and keeping me accountable.
Yeah, I was thinking about the list. My version of a list is really the root of the list for me is accountability. Mm-hmm. So when you write it down, you're like, okay, I wrote it down. So it's reality. My version of that is I have to tell someone this is my goal. And then sometimes I have to use my shame against me because I know that if I tell someone, then when I don't meet that goal, I will feel a different kind of shame. Mm-hmm. And then I have to use that shame to propel me towards meeting my goal. Or if it's very bad, like if it's action oriented, if I have to go walk, for example, dude, if I tell a friend, hey, we're going to accountability buddy each other. Like, you're going to show up at my house at 6 a.m. If I don't wake my butt up,
yeah,
you're screwed. Yeah. And that does help a lot, right? Like, it can shoot back at me at moments, but that's why your friend has to not, like, I found that, like, depending on the person, like, sometimes my better accountability is a friend than my husband. Because if my husband says something to me about, oh, you didn't work out today, I react defensively to my husband more than I would my friend.
Yeah, where you're like to your friend, yeah, I didn't feel like it. And to your husband, you're like, what do you mean? Why are you constantly checking up on what I'm doing?
Yeah.
I get that. Well, let me ask you, like, if we're going down that vein, right, of trying to find ways that you can find people that will help you keep accountable. What happens, like in the example that I was giving about my mom or my grandpa, where you have the naysayers and they're just like consistently like having to block those. And it goes back, you know, like they love me. I know they love me. They were just, you know, surprised that me engaging in something that we've never done before. But how can we work towards addressing that kind of not toxicity, but just, you know,
yeah,
people who may not be as supportive.
I think there are habits built into that. Like, if you don't have habits of questioning or shooting back, like in your brain where you're like, no, not going to take that on. No, you know, that's a habit. That's a skill too, to practice shooting negativity back. So when I didn't have that skill, I had to rely on other systems to remind me to do that. So, and I still need those systems. So one thing I have found is that if I'm tackling what you call big change, decreasing bad habits, decreasing addictions, decreasing emotional reactivity, I need a support system that's like Team Teresa. Whether that is like AA or NA or a support group or a friend or a group of friends, you know, so that I can vent to them and they remind me what I can't remind myself in my brain. I don't know. I have found that because when I early on, if I tried to just do it by myself, I didn't have the emotional strength or the emotional practice to be no. And I needed friends and people who loved me, who are my team, to remind me, to be like, go work out. Don't listen to your mom. Don't listen to that person. Don't listen to that voice.
Yeah. I wonder too, like, there's things that you could, like, you can do to like pump yourself up, you know, and it really is around like I have certain songs that when I really need to get into the energy, it's like focus. I put them on and I'm just like, go. And it's like, this is going to age me. Like, you know, like, Thundercats, you know, it's like,
yes, oh my god, I love it.
Something like that will totally help you focus your energy and your mind to getting something done. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is about creating enough of a protective circle around yourself that you're just like, I'm just gonna try to go and do this. And it's not until you get to a place where you can actually be effective in saying to somebody, look, right now all I need from you is to just listen to me while I cry my little heart out for 10 minutes. And that's it. I don't need you to like say anything. Just sit there.
Yeah.
And hopefully you have that person, right? And you can find somebody that can do that for you.
Or a system.
Yes.
Which is why I think for, you know, big change, like getting rid of an addiction, that's why AA groups have been developed, because they realize you had to have a network to pump you up that have rituals in them too. But I love what you said about music, because if I think about setting up rituals around my change, I didn't think about how much music does play a role in creating a ritual. For exercise, it was Rocky for me. Oh, yours nice. Is Thundercats. Mine's like boom, 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 boom. You know, like I gotta, and every time I hear that song, I'm just like, okay. I'm more ready to go.
Yeah.
I'm more ready to go. And the same thing with concentrating on a writing assignment. I have a song that I will put on that will set my brain in the mood to be like, okay, time for homework.
Yes.
Or then going to sleep, I have a song for like, if I listen to this song, it's like, okay, time for sleep.
your brain has been trained.
I know that I have a good relationship with music in that way, but I didn't necessarily tie my music to the ritual. And now that I've said that out loud, I know the next time I go to listen to that song or do that thing, I'm going to be like, oh yeah, this is what I'm doing. I see it a new way. There's a new intentional nature to it that will make it even stronger. You know, so thank you. That was a nice gift.
So it sounds like the things that we're saying, though, when we're in this place that you realize you have to change but don't want to change, is that we're asking people to really do some additional work, right, to figure out why it is that you don't want to change. What's holding you back from actually moving forward? Part of that is finding that support system. We had another session where we talked about like finding community and finding support. So if you're interested in that, you know, you can check it out. But I think one of the things that has really worked for me is in being able to talk about the struggles and having somebody or other people validate that experience and be like, yo, yeah, I've been there, man. When I first started doing X thing, it was super hard. It took like 3, 7, you know, whatever years to get this going. But, it, you know, little bits made a difference. So don't be discouraged, right? Because that's I think too often we get discouraged. And we're just like, ah, forget it. This isn't going to ever work.
Yeah. The messenger does matter. Because if you mention someone saying, oh, and I had a hard time, which that validation piece, it's like what I hear from that person is what I'm hearing validation or is what I'm hearing judgment. Mm-hmm. And in the moment where you have to change, if the person who is supporting you, all you hear is judgment from them, that's going to make it harder for you to change.
Yeah.
But if you look at your support people, the people you've identified to help you stick with the change, what you want to hear from them is encouragement and validation.
Yeah.
Because two people can say the same words, but the relationship you have with that person and the way they say their words, your ears will hear different things.
Yeah, you're very on point with that. You know, that's interesting because that's a whole nother podcast where we could talk about how like the way we hear the words they say. I have been through that so many times and I still am trying to learn about that and learn about myself in that process. So it's a whole nother thing. But I would imagine that for me, and I'm going to ask you this question too, Teresa, like during this time, what has been like the hardest thing for you to change, like within maybe like the last 6 months?
Before therapy, and then that's why I had to reinitiate therapy. When everything got so intense, like coronavirus started, and those just pile, all the things, there was so much stress in my life that I reverted back to like really bad old habits. Like I didn't have the strength. Like if sleep went, I didn't have attention because I lost sleep. So forget it. Like the hardest thing to change for a while was not being emotionally reactive, not getting so mad right off the bat and going from 0 to 100. And it wasn't until I started getting in like really bad fights that I had to step back. And my husband was like, we've been talking about needing to go to therapy for a while, but after so many number of arguments, like real fights, not just like dialogue fights, like we're having fights. I was just like, ah. And it wasn't until I could step back from that and then call in the forces, like call in the soldiers, the therapy, the friends, like then I was like, I could get some distance away from it enough that I could see the patterns I had fallen back into and why, so that I could start over and do it again. And I see this pattern happening as we move into fall. I'm more stressed again and I can see like, oh my gosh, I'm doing it again. But this time I do still have therapy. So I'm like, okay. I do notice that if I have a hard day, I'm taking more breaths, which is what I used to not do. I used to go to bad coping habits. Hmm. I'm trying to use better coping habits so I don't fall into bad traps.
I was thinking about like the hardest thing that I've had to change. I think it's really been finding some sort of, it's not balanced because nothing's ever balanced, but finding something that makes it somewhat okay to be managing everything. Relationships. What does that look like? I know my relationship changed in the last 6 months. Some things for the worse, some things for the good, but still it changed. But it helped me realize that I still had to develop the skills that I've been working on for so many years and continue to do it. And also the bad habits, you know. I think when I am in a place where I want comfort and I want to feel at ease, I seek out things that are easy, mm-hmm. right? Because it's not hard. It's not at all difficult to access them. But they're not always the best thing.
That is right. There's comfort in the snacks. There's even comfort in anger.
Yeah.
Because it's easier for me to feel comforted by feeling angry at someone than it is for me to feel comforted at looking at my responsibility.
Yeah, you know, like my fiance always talks about how, like, when I'm not working or I'm studying for school or whatever, I'm watching TV. Like, mm-hmm. I love, like, watching TV. And I will, like, take one series after another and just, like, dig in. Mm. And he's like, why do you do that? And I'm like, but it so removes my brain from having to think about all these other things, mm. you know, where I'm so before.
Addicted to TV.
Yeah. But At one point I had gotten really good at using that, like you were saying, like using it towards my benefit, where I could go and I could watch TV and then I could walk on the treadmill like 5 miles, right? I'm still doing the thing, you know? Yeah. But then the gym closed.
Oh.
So I think it's finding ways that you can still try your best. And like you were saying, you know, take things one day at a time. Is today better than yesterday? And if it isn't, what can you do to do that?
And I liked that you said, remember to give yourself praise or like the stars, right? I forget to do that. And I think that's why I'm not setting myself up for success, because I don't follow it up with the good pat on the back to be like, I did do that.
Yeah.
And if I just don't include that part of it, like I'm actually like setting myself up to just not even acknowledge, you know, which is a big part of helping you to continue change.
Mm-hmm.
We did a good job today. We're going to keep on fighting. Change is very hard. We do want to drag our feet, but we know we want it. And that is why we keep on fighting, because it is a fight. It's not a freaking walk in the park. If it was, it would be easy.